Hi, and welcome to a special broadcast from Millennium Grown Broadcast Network. We are here today with the Cannonball Run veterans and the Weed for Warriors Project as they travel across country, sponsored by MagicalButter.com, with a education campaign to raise awareness for the hope that's coming to military veterans. They are headed to the White House. We are on the line with Sean Kiernan, and welcome you, gentlemen. And we look forward to hearing more about this amazing historic event.
Great.
So, Sean, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. And we're joined with one of our fellow veterans.
Jose, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here as well.
Well, I'm going to drop off so that you guys can tell us a little bit more about the Cannonball Run, the Weed for Warriors Project, and what it's like living on the road on the Cannonball Run.
Yeah, no problem. Jose, I'll go first because Jose's actually in Los Angeles. He'll be joining us in Phoenix. We left Los Angeles on Sunday the 18th. We went to Vegas where we spent 2 days in Vegas visiting the industry and politicians, et cetera, getting the word out. And now we just arrived in Colorado, in Denver. Actually, I am sitting in our van bus on the conference call before checking in. And we're going to be here through Sunday. And on Saturday, we're going to be having an event in Aurora, Colorado, put on by XM 420. And we're going to have a cook-off between Chef Nugs and Magical Butter Chef. And we hope everyone can come out and join us. And then when we leave Colorado, we're going to be heading to Phoenix. And then from Phoenix, we're going to be heading back east, where we're going to hit Nashville, Kentucky, Charlottesville, Philadelphia, then Washington, D.C., where on November 11th, we are going to be walking from Ben Franklin Park to the White House, where we will, in a symbol of protest, be leaving empty prescription bottles to represent all the prescriptions the VA is shoving down veterans' throats.
That's unbelievable. And, you know, one of the things that I have to mention and ask really is it's not just stops that you guys are making. I mean, it's one thing to say that you're making a cross-country journey, but at each location that you stop at, it's an event in itself. So in Los Angeles, you had the 420-mile run, walk, and roll. How did that go?
Well, hey, Jose, you know, Jose is with us in L.A. He was with us. So, Jose, why don't you talk about the event that happened on Saturday and how it went for you?
Actually, that was pretty amazing. We had a lot of people out there. We were raising awareness. I actually got the first chance to do my first 4.2-mile walk. And honestly, the experience was amazing. I had all the support from my veteran friends there helping me out. And it's something I don't think a triple amputee, that's a hip dysarticulate, has done in the sense. So that's pretty big on our part. And the fact that we did it without being on prescription pills and just being on cannabis makes it that much even more amazing. honestly, It was fun, but it was brutal on my legs. I ended up getting blisters and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, it was all worth it. We were there raising awareness. We have a lot of people that say they're motivated, I had them tearing up. To be honest with you, I have no reason or don't understand why. I'm just here walking, showing the people that we're able to do it and we could do it together. So, I mean, the fact that we had a lot of people there showing support and we were raising awareness all together was an amazing experience. And, I mean, we're doing it all across country. Like you were saying, we have all different kinds of stops and we're raising awareness in every different place that we're going. Like I said, a lot of people see me and see a miracle walking, and it's not about that. We're here to do it because all of us need this. and I'm just the bigger voice for everybody else. So, like I said, we're all in this together, and, like, we're all raising awareness.
Jose, you know, and that brings up a valid point, because there are so many veterans out there, and each of you have a different story. And would you mind recapping your story briefly for the people who aren't familiar with, you know, there's some people tuning in that have never heard of Weed for Warriors Project, don't know what the Cannonball Run is, but more importantly, they don't know who Jose is and what he's been through, and they don't know Sean and what he's been through. So if you could briefly, you know, tell us a little bit about your story, Jose, that would be fantastic.
Okay, well, I'm actually a U.S. Army veteran. I got hurt in 2012. I was fortunate enough to step on an IED. I lost three of my limbs, so I lost my right arm, my whole right leg, and below the knee on my left side. I came back, and I pretty much was at the end of the cliff with myself. I was disgusted the way I was looking, or the way I looked, and where I ended up being at. I should have been with my friends just like everybody else was. So I was in a bad place, and it didn't help that I was on so many prescription pills, and all of them were painkillers. All I wanted to be was a zombie, and it was to the point where I would take pills so I could not wake up the next day, and if I did wake up the next day, I would try to intake about 10 or 15 more just to see if I won't wake up the next day, and so on and so forth, and pretty much to the point where I was trying to commit suicide every night. And I was fortunate enough to get out of the military very, very quick, and I turned to cannabis. I actually got to smoke cannabis when I was younger before I joined the military, and it was just something recreational at the time. Never thought about it as medicinal, but at that point, I had no other choice but to try something else, and it ended up working. I can say that it's been 2 years that I haven't taken a prescription pill, and I run strictly on anything green. So cannabis or anything that keeps me healthy and just keeps me sane, I'm all for it. And what we're here for doing for this Weed for Warrior project is that we're trying to create an environment or be around amongst people that, or friends or a group of veterans that we want to help out and be around, that feel comfortable enough to talk about, not even our problems, just to talk about each other and to hang out just like normal human beings, because there's times where we are not able to do that. To be honest with you, they could be outside and there could be a group of my friends. If we're a bunch of veterans that have been to war, someone honks or a tire pops, a lot of them will jump or a lot of them freak out because of things like this. And being on cannabis just keeps us calm. You know, it doesn't, this whole demeanor of it's the devil or whatnot is just some crazy antic that the government have put on everybody, you know. But, I mean, that's what we're here to raise awareness. I mean, I'm not crazy, and I'm walking around the streets like a normal human being. The only difference is that I look a little different than everybody else.
This is Sean.
Well,
and
you gave a great sacrifice. You gave a great sacrifice for our freedoms, you know, and that's one of the huge aspects about this entire historical event is the awareness that you veterans are putting out there for other veterans and civilians alike. Sean, would you introduce yourself and tell us about you?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, my name is Sean Kernan. I'm a little different than Jose, well, a lot different than Jose. He's an amazing person, I must say, has seen him lead, you know, over 100-plus people on a 4.2-mile walk. It's successfully completed with, you know, artificial legs is truly amazing and an inspiration to veterans. And so one of the things we're trying to do, and I'll get into my background here, is raise awareness, exactly what Jose said, not only about the issues, but raise awareness about, you know, pharmaceuticals and how they're being used by the VA, how the veterans are choosing to medicate themselves, and in many cases, not able to make that alternate choice like Jose is living in California or people in Colorado are, and not to mention the VA issues when you do cannabis. But my background is I grew up in Los Angeles. I joined the military after high school just to get away. I joined in 1989, spent my time in Central America through 93. You know, I was fortunate enough to leave without any scars and did not go through anything close to what Jose or many of the Iraq and Afghanistan vets went through, not only from the physical harm perspective, but, you know, one thing that's changed in this military that I think is unique to, I say, the new vets, meaning from Afghanistan and Iraq, is the number of tours they went on. You know, back in Vietnam when you had the draft, it was one tour and you were done. 12 months. I was in Central America, and while I lost a platoon mate, and we did have a gentleman in our company down in a helicopter and so forth, so we had that type of stuff. But what these boys and women are coming back with is truly horrific, and I personally experienced it when I was 5150 at the VA in La Jolla. I literally had never been to the VA, had spent tons of my own money on medical care, but then my insurance dropped me back in 2011 because I had a, quote, pre-existing condition. That pre-existing condition was PTSD. So the only alternative I had was using cash, my own cash, or going to the VA, and I stayed away from the VA. But after spending a lot of money in 2012, my dad said, well, here, let's go down to the VA and just, you know, get registered. So if you need to use it, you can. So when I went down there to register, they asked if I wanted to stay for an observational study. And I said, no. Why would I want to do voluntary observation? I said, why do I want to do that? And they said, well, voluntary observation is better than involuntary observation. And this was a couple weeks, a month after Chris Kyle was shot. So I think the VA was on high alert. So I literally got stuck in the VA mental ward. And I say that, you know, mental ward, I know the behavioral health center is better. That's the word they use now, very Orwellian. And I saw people like Jose, and I saw zombies, and I saw my fellow veterans, female and male, back from whatever issues that they have, and they were being medicated with 14, 20 pills a day, from Oxycontin to ADD meds to counteract your mood stabilizers and psychotropes that make you sleepy, Seroquel, and other, you know, medicines to stop nightmares. And that the VA spends billions and billions of dollars on pharmaceuticals. So what we have is a pharmaceutical industry that is, for all intents and purposes, using the veterans as a profit center. And the VA is very conservative and very CYA, cover your butt, and effectively they do not want to embrace cannabis. Yet what we see on a daily basis throughout this country, and part of the reason for our road tour, just between here and where we're at now in Denver. For example, in Grand Junction last night, went to a Denny's, we were talking, and by the time we left, we had everyone come out in that Denny's, and this was at midnight, it's about 15 people, talk for quite a bit of time and shared stories about what people like Jose, myself, Kevin Richardson, the founder, who wasn't able to join us, and what we're finding is, and the scientific community likes to say, well, it's just anecdotal. It is anecdotal, but at some point when we see thousands and thousands of veterans that it's working for, and the alternative, which the VA is pushing for, which is pharmaceuticals, is literally not working for a lot of people. When I say not a lot of people, you don't need to look any more further than the suicide rate, where we're at 22 a day, over 8,000 a year, and that's the official number. But what's important to talk about in that number is this. The VA in 2012 asked 50 states to give us their suicide numbers on vets. Only 21 states complied. The other 29 either didn't have the number or didn't want to give it. Out of those 29 that didn't comply, it was California and Texas, or two states representing 21% of the population in this country. The reality is that 22 number is extraordinarily, it is underinflated. And that number is probably closer to 60 or over 20,000 veterans we're losing a year to suicide. And what we see in places like your great state of Colorado, where they've now had this medical program and now recreational program, is that suicide rates are lower, addiction rates are lower, deaths from overdoses are lower. And while it's just a trend, given the extraordinary disaster we have on our hands and the risk profile of cannabis, it's a tragedy that our government, from the Obama administration to Congress to the VA, isn't doing more to make access to cannabis for veterans not only legal but available in some cases to places like Canada, give away cannabis free to their veterans every month. I think it's 12 grams they get every month. So, you know, the science is out there. The anecdotal information is out there. All this about is making money off the veterans' back, and we're being screwed once again. It's a common theme in this country. And so the guys at Weed for Warriors, people like Jose, people like Kevin Richardson, people like Chef Nugs, and thousands and thousands and thousands of other veterans and people in this industry are stepping up and saying, you know, we want a voice at the table. We want to tell people about us, not have other people talk about us, not have other people use this for their own agenda, but step up and say, hey, we're people. We deserve the right to use cannabis, because in my case, as profiled on Week 3 with Sanjay Gupta, I'm a suicide survivor. I link that suicide directly to the pharmaceuticals that not only the VA but private medical practice is giving. I can tell you I took Lamictal. I took every medicine under the book, Seroquel, lithium, Lamictal, everything. Lamictal is probably the worst one I took. Now, it works for some people, but I remember having suicidal thoughts and horrible visions I never had before taking the pill within 72 to 80 hours after ingesting this medicine that I was supposed to take multiple times a day. And I stopped it, and it happened a few times because doctors say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. It had to be something else. And then when I tried again a year later, same thing happened. So all we become is we as vets, and not only vets, but anyone out there suffering from PTSD or physical pain like Jose, and in Jose, you know, it's not only physical and PTSD and everything else, we're chasing pharmaceutical cocktails. And what we found, as Jose said, is cannabis is something that we can use, wean ourselves off everything else. And as a common sense tells me, cannabis risk profile, meaning that, you know, it's not nearly as deadly or addictive as most of the drugs we're being given by the VA. So the question has to be raised, why are we not allowed to make that choice? And that, to me, is what the Weed for Warriors is about, is to raise awareness and be an advocate for our fellow brothers and sisters.
Well, it's basic human rights and constitutional rights. You should have the right to choose. You have fought and defended the great United States of America so that you and citizens have that basic right to life. You know, and it's ironic that you bring up Lamictal. My son has Dravet syndrome. Lamictal was the one pharmaceutical out of the dozens that we've tried that threw him into anaphylactic shock, and he was on life support with it almost immediately because of the lethality. And people, you're right, because they do argue, Sean, these doctors are fed information from the pharmaceutical companies with fill-in-the-blank answers. And one of them that bothers me, I believe, the most is that there's no long-term studies on cannabis. Well, number one, that's not true, because anybody that's researched it knows that we've literally used it for thousands of years. But let's just forget prior to the last century. Let's just look at the comparison. You know, the majority of FDA-approved pharmaceuticals have only had one clinical trial, have never been studied long-term, and have, lists of side effects and are possibly lethal. So why?
Well, and that's
crazy, you know.
You're absolutely right. And the Lamictal, I love the story you just said. And you're absolutely right from the perspective of what we have is pharmaceutical companies are in bed with the medical schools, they're in bed with the physician organizations, and they're in bed with the physicians. And what do I mean by bed? The pharmaceutical companies pay for wings of medical schools. They pay for trips to conferences. They pay for a lot of things. And by the way, pharmaceutical sales reps, I got out of Berkeley and worked on Wall Street, where I worked on the buy side and bought stock in companies that are biotech companies, so I know a lot about them. It is no joke. I mean, the sales reps at these pharmaceutical companies are as good a salesperson as any place around. And these doctors do benefit from prescribing. I mean, just look at the psychiatric community. The psychiatric community, and I've been through the psychiatric and psychology community as much as anyone, has become nothing more than legal drug pushers. And they're drug pushers for the pharmaceutical companies, And again, pharmaceuticals may have been doing wonderful things. We have antibiotics. We have things that can heal. We have wonderful things from pharmaceutical companies. The problem isn't in the pharmaceuticals. The problem is in the system that says that's your only choice, okay? And then, two,
that's
education.
Right.
Yeah. And so this is what it comes down to, so many issues in America, freedom of choice. And one of the arguments against freedom of choice is, well, that choice could harm others. But the problem is cannabis is less harm than what you're forcing me to take. So all they have, the only leg they have to stand on, is simply the kids. We have to prohibit for the kids, because the kids, you know, we can't have marijuana around because it's a gateway drug. Well, the problem is marijuana illegal in the illegal states is as easy to get as ever. So the only people you're hurting when you outlaw marijuana or prohibit it are those people who want to use it legally, because the people who don't want to use it legally are using it already. And in many cases, those are people who can't, so they get tested, which includes veterans. If you get tested, I went to my first VA appointment a couple weeks ago. I urinalyzed positive for THC. I was told, he goes, I know you're not asking for it, and I'd love to get Jose's point on this and his experience with the VA, given all the medications he was taking. So ask Jose this. He said, well, and it's changed a lot. We have a lot more rights than we did. But he said, well, I can't give you any pain meds or any medicine if you're going to use cannabis. And I said, that's fine. I don't want to use anything else. I'd be interested to hear what Jose has to say about how he's been treated with his cannabis use, given his issues.
Oh, well, my VA story is a lot different than your guys. I'm fortunate enough, again, yes, I say fortunate enough, that I have 3 missing limbs. So at the end of the day, the doctor can't tell me what hurts, what doesn't hurt, how I feel, what I don't feel, what I do feel. Because at the end of the day, a doctor's never had an amputation like I've had or anything like that. So the first time I actually ever walked into the VA, actually it was about a couple months ago, because prior to that, I don't go to the doctor, period. I know that I'm pretty messed up, and I know that I don't need a doctor to tell me how messed up I actually am, so I actually take care of myself pretty well, so I tend to stay away. But the first time I did actually meet with my VA doctor, I told him I'm on cannabis, that if she doesn't want to deal with me, that I don't care, and I'll walk away, and there's nothing they could do about it. So he said, okay, I really don't care, and now honestly, the way you look, you're a lot better than anybody I've seen, so thank you very much for staying on it, and I'm just going to put it on the computer, if you don't mind. I told him, I don't care, because at the end of the day, you're not going to put me on cuffs, you're not going to hold me down or anything like that. I will walk away from the VA. So that's my actual story with the VA. I don't give them option, and because I have 3 missing limbs, they can't do anything about that, and that's not the truth.
You know,
I mean,
I think that
what are you going to do, triple amputee?
You know what? That brings up a very valuable point, Jose. That's an amazing point, you know, because as veterans, both of you probably recognize that a lot of your fellow vets, they have wounds you can't see. And so one of the things, going back real quick, Sean, I wanted to mention, there was actually, you know, now that the gateways have opened for scientific research on cannabis, there was actually a scientific research study that concluded that, in fact, alcohol is officially the gateway drug, you know, and so it, which is really nice and something to remember, because alcohol can be lethal. If you consume too much, prescription pills can be lethal. If you consume too much, consume together, you might not even be trying to do yourself harm, and it's a lethal dose. Whereas cannabis, you can never consume enough. It'd have to be I think the old adage you told me is that it'd have to be a bale falling on you to kill you.
Correct. And, you know, it's interesting. Jose brought up a good point, and that is veterans need to know their rights. Because you have a right to have another doctor at the VA. And so many of our veteran friends are like, the doctor was, you know, doesn't want to see me or deal with me, or I'm having problems because I'm using cannabis. You as a veteran have a right to get a new doctor. And so Jose's attitude of standing up for himself and his rights and self-medication is something that we should all hear. With regards to, you know, the gateway and marijuana and all the studies, you know, listen, one of the things that needs to be said, and we'll go off the physical injuries, but the mental injuries, I have a tattoo. And in that tattoo is a face with a stitch, and it represents mental illness or mental disabilities, however you want to define it. You're right, you can't see. And so what we do get a lot of the times with mental illness of any kind is a you know, you get treated as a second-class citizen, or you get, you know, we have all this fear now about mental illness with, you know, all the mass shootings, even though there's no link. In fact, it's more likely that a shooter is going to be not have a mental illness than have a mental illness in terms of percentage of likelihood. So, you know, you get all these red herrings out there because people want to blame minorities, and I'll straight up say it, that's our minority at 7% of the population. And you can see when you walk in and on our tour, the people who are against us are scared of us. You know, they you know, I joke, it's like Boomerang the movie, when you walk in and you have three or four vets with, you know, PTSD with shirts on and we're walking around, you do see people move the other way. And even our friends and people who are supporting us do treat us like, Kevin will say, second-class citizens because of that. And I think that, you know, that's one of the goals of our tour, is to raise awareness enough that people start to feel comfortable with what PTSD really is. And that PTSD,
you know,
doesn't mean... Go ahead.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, but I would like to say that I believe as a citizen that there's that the mentality might be a little different. I don't think it's that that people often think of it as second class citizens. I often refer to it as they feel like they have to use velvet gloves, and
yes,
it's because of ignorance. They don't know. And in that realm, you know, that communication with our veterans, it, I mean, it's just, it's so amazing that the camaraderie that we're seeing right now, and really, I guess getting, you know, back to this whole point, the Cannonball Run is just, I mean, it's historic. It's beyond historic. So, but now Jose is still in California. You guys just left him behind. Is he picking it up in Phoenix? I mean,
no.
I noticed you guys aren't stopping in Oklahoma, Sean. Now, what's up with that?
Hey, Jose, do you want to bail me out of this so we don't look like total heels for leaving you in LA?
Yeah, no. since they're driving across everywhere, it's very uncomfortable for me to sit for so long. So they decided to fly me into these places back and forth. So it's a lot easier on myself, actually. Yeah,
that's
so
fantastic.
They're trying to help me out. So, yes, I will bail you out, Sean. Thank you very much.
Are you going to come to Denver?
Yes, I will be in Denver, actually. They're eating all the delicious food that my guys will be cooking. Hanging out with everybody, like I said, bringing awareness. I'll be getting there on Saturday morning. So if anybody wants to pick me up, I'll be at the airport at 9 o'clock.
We can make that happen. Now, Sean, you were talking about Saturday in Denver, October 24th. It's an infused cook-off. It's going to be broadcast live on Sirius XM 420. You've got several PTSD survivor veterans that are going to be speaking about cannabis, as well as Robert Hoban. He's the attorney, I'm assuming, you know, that's just kicking ass and taking names in the state of Colorado, because the Colorado Board of Health denied PTSD as a qualifying condition. Am I right on that?
Yeah, no, you 100% right on everything you have said, and we are going to be doing this cook-off, you know, to as part of our whole thing. And that gets back to what you said. This isn't just we're driving. We're putting on events, raising awareness. And let me put two plugs in, or a couple of plugs in, for people who are out there. We have been raising money for this, and the only reason we're able to do this is because we work in a great industry. The marijuana cannabis industry is awesome. I mean, we visited Kind Love today, and Kind Love was our first donation. So big shout out to them. You know, we have like Pirate Candy, Bill Pirate Candy. is one of the people who's flying Jose around along with Magical Butter, who's on tour with us. And so we have this whole industry embracing us, and embracing us not only because it's a veteran story, but because veteran story is everyone's story. We all have a brother, a sister, a father, a grandfather, an uncle who probably had PTSD because this country's been in so many wars, right? But not only that, PTSD is something important. It's not exclusive to veterans. I can tell you anybody who's been physically abused, sexually assaulted, lived in an abusive relationship, suffers from PTSD of some sort. And so everything we talk about applies to a lot of people beyond vets.
That's so true. You know, we had a discussion in the group, the American Medical Refugees Group here in Colorado, which my husband and I founded, but it helps families that have moved here, you know, for themselves or a loved one to become cannabis patients. And, you know, a lot of these families are parents of chronically and terminally ill children. My husband and I included, our son has Dravet. And that was something we had a speaker come and talk to us about. And I'll never forget Sebastian Cott was talking about it with his son Jagger, and he said, you know, I'll be across country in a hotel room, and I know my son's not there, but I wake up thinking that I'm hearing his oxygen monitor crash. And so they were talking about PTSD because it's there's many, many faces of PTSD. And so, you know, it's going to hit people on different levels. And so that's what's amazing when you're talking about these events. And I know that so you're traveling to Denver. You're going to do this cook-off. Now it's between Chef Joey Galano from MagicalButter.com and then Chef Nugs Kavanaugh from Hollywood, right?
Absolutely. Chef Cavs is our Chef Nugs is our chef. He's a ranger from a ranger, second ranger bat, and he's an awesome chef with his own line of sauces that you can buy, and he's just, you know, that's what he's doing, and he is an awesome chef. So I love both chefs, but I have to admit I'm going to be a little biased for Chef Nugs for anyone out there.
Well, so, but we've heard from Telltale that you were not selected to be on the panel of judges, Sean, so... But I'm sure they'll get you guys in for the leftovers. So, but
exactly.
That, you know, and that's amazing. And so you're going to be in Denver through, you know, basically all day Saturday. It's an amazing event. And then Sunday, we know that you're going to be talking to a lot of medical marijuana patients and cannabis refugees, caregivers, growers. You know, just really getting feel for Colorado before you guys head out to Phoenix. Is that, and you guys are going to be marching to the state capitol and then attending the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
It's funny. Jose, you can talk after. Let me put one point. I'd love to get Jose's view on this, but one of the great things is Bill Montgomery, who's, you know, in government down there. I don't even know if he deserves my comment on this, but he's the gentleman who became famous when he called I think it was a Vietnam vet, and I forget if it was a Vietnam vet or Korean War, who used cannabis at a town hall meeting, who was very polite to him, said, you're an enemy of the state because you use cannabis. You're an enemy of the state. And this is a state official in Arizona with a law degree. You know, he's attorney general, I believe. And he put out a warning to everybody in Arizona, which is, by the way, is a medical state. And it actually looks like the pools that recreational, they may legalize here too. So the majority of people in that state support the marijuana laws that are currently there. And yet you have someone in government who insists not only on prosecuting and tormenting people who are trying to use cannabis, but taking glee out of it. And I think that, you know, if anyone wants to look into Bill Montgomery in Phoenix, he put out a warning, everyone, that, you know, you're not allowed to smoke at the event, and my police are going to be all over the place, and all visitors state Arizona is not a place you can smoke because they don't have reciprocity. Your card isn't good there. The only reason they have a medical marijuana program is because the voters passed it and the judges have held it. And so that is something we're seeing across this country, is the politicians doing the opposite of the will of the people. And the question in this country you have to ask is why? Well, we know why. It's the pharmaceutical industrial complex. It's the prison industrial complex. It is basically the, you know, those who are prohibitionists for their moral crusades. in the minority, but they have a lot of money, and money is what talks in this country. So one of the things that we need to do is support the industry so the industry can support us, because it's those almighty dollars and then the ballot box that is going to get these things changed. So the Southwest Expo in Phoenix, which starts this coming the next week, is going to be interesting, because there's already been threats by law enforcement and the Attorney General on visitors to the expo. So we're going to go there loud and proud and express kind of our support for freedom of choice, even though they don't want us there. And it's going to be interesting.
Well, and you know, and that's so sad to hear coming from veterans, especially disabled veterans. I just don't understand. You know, it's one of the things that I profess. Nature should never be illegal. Man's laws should never outlaw God's creation. But again, this is America in 2015. If a plant can be utilized, then there's no force that should stop us. And so it's really heartbreaking as a citizen, a very patriotic citizen, I might add, to be talking to veterans that feel this way. It's really quite, you know, it's wrenching. You know, it's wrenching of the heart, because there are so many states that recognize the medicinal benefits of cannabis, and really it gets down to a very basic thing. The United States government filed research for a patent that was granted, number 6630507, that proves not only that cannabis has medicinal benefits, but that it's non-toxic. And if you want to get down to even more simple terms, because this is America in 2015, cannabis is absolutely the safest recreational drug on the planet. You don't want people to die trying to get high. You know, I just don't understand, and it's really pretty crazy. But now let me ask you, are you guys going to have an aerial flyover in Phoenix? Is that what you guys are planning?
Because you know
that
what?
Hysterical.
I will plead the fifth on that one, because I'm not 100% certain. I know there has been discussions about it.
Then it's confidential, and hopefully I just didn't let the cat out of the bag. Well, and that's amazing. But then you guys are really trekking across country, and I joke because you're going through my home state of Oklahoma, and Chris Lewandowski, a Marine veteran who was one of our inaugural guests on the 1620 talk on Millennium Grown, he is a medical marijuana refugee now in California. But he was arrested in Oklahoma for 6 pot plants and literally faced life in prison, which is just unbelievable. And so I'm not surprised that you guys aren't stopping in New Mexico, Texas, or Oklahoma, or Arkansas. You guys are hauling ass straight through, man. Are you afraid?
Well,
are you guys a little bit concerned about the caravan? Be honest. It's just between us.
Yeah, just between us. No, you know what? We're not. I mean, because we don't have medicine on us in the caravan. We have professional drivers who are driving this, so there's no issues with that. I would love nothing more for the police in Oklahoma to pull us over in the caravan with all our cameras. It would be great cinema, and I think it would tell a great story. I mean, you talk about Chris Lewandowski. Here's a 3-term Marine who, you know, some small-town bumpkin police force comes to his house on a domestic violence call, which is very common in the military, because you and your spouse, I've been married 24 years, and I can tell you, spouses fight. And
That's right.
You know, yelling, they get called. And the police show up, put Chris in handcuffs, because nowadays the police are called, they're arresting someone, even if it was just a verbal altercation in most cases. So Chris gets arrested. They then go above and beyond and get a search warrant. They find what you just said, the 6 plants, and although I think it was 9 at first, and they figured out through their genius that 3 of them were tomato plants.
That's right.
And literally, they plastered the paper the next day that they had a major drug bust, and they took them down and all this stuff. And it was laughable, but it goes to the reefer madness. Not only the reefer madness, but the hysteria. Not only the propaganda that's put out there, but because it's been out there so long, people believe it. And just as we were talking about earlier, as you said, walking on eggshells, I call it second-class citizen. And I like your description better, and I think it's more accurate. I think it's just it feels that way sometimes. You know, is with regards to marijuana is, you know, the problem with marijuana right now is the prohibitionists are appealing to soccer moms throughout this country. And that's why I think coming out of the closet, I literally call it coming out of the closet. And it is, to me, very alike to the gay rights movement. Where coming out of the closet started in the 80s and we pressured, you know, it was pressured, is to come out was to put a face on, you know, the issue. And by coming out with Kevin, myself, Jose, and the thousands of other people or veterans or Hollywood stars or people who are out public, it's important because it starts to knock down the stereotype people have in their head. And the stereotype people have in their head are the lazy bum type thing. Even though you have people like Schultz from Starbucks coming out saying he's smoked it for 50 years, and I can personally attest working on Wall Street that marijuana is probably the least of the drugs being used on Wall Street. We have not been able to have an honest conversation in this country regarding drugs, risk, or drug policy ever. And I think that's got to be the ultimate goal, is where we can have honest conversations about drugs, different types of drugs, and what our goals are so we can implement public policy that helps people who have addiction and real issues with these drugs, but also doesn't hinder what we're finding out with many of these drugs. And MAPS, for example, is doing a study on, you know, some hallucinogenics, and they're successfully treating people. Is that these natural plants, as you said, whether it be cannabis or thousands of others the pharmaceutical companies send people into the jungle to find, you know, are here for a reason. I mean, I'm not an overly religious person, but it does say in the Bible that God gave us all this for our use. And for a government, especially the United States government, who's supposed to be the land of the free, to deny us a right to ingest a plant into our body that really has very minimal risk is a little bit perturbing, and you have to ask yourself why.
Well, especially as a veteran, and I mean, like you said earlier, look at his Jose. He, you know, you can't deny what he's saying. Nobody is going to doubt what Jose is saying. And that's where, you know, you would never think that he would say that he's an advantage. But in so many instances in this fight, you know, he's in an advantage to be able to talk where people will listen. And that's huge because it takes a very brave person to put yourself out there and be an advocate and an activist. And I really commend you both because it's not an easy thing. And being a veteran, you take it personally. I would. I'm not a veteran, and I take it personally for you. I'm pissed off because I feel like you should get to use and do whatever the hell you want. You've paid the price for my freedom,
for my children's freedom. You know? That's why we're doing this.
So it's just amazing.
We're doing it for the guys that aren't. You know, the guys that aren't feel like they don't have a voice. That's why we're doing all of this. We're coming together. And, I mean, like we said, I don't feel like everybody's behind me. I feel like everybody's next to me pushing forward with this. You know, I mean, you can't do this with people behind you. You got to do this together as one, as a unity. So, like I said, we're just here to be the big voice for the ones that feel like they don't have any say out there. So what better person than the triple amputee to shut everybody up and let them listen?
Well, and you know, and that's amazing. Let me ask you a question. If you had something to say, if you knew a vet was out there right now and they were barely hanging on, what would you say to them?
The same thing I tell all my guys. Don't look at me and think I'm a lot worse than you are. We're all in this together. You know, the only difference between me and Sean and Kevin or whatever is, it's just that my wounds are visible. That's the only thing I got to tell them, because a lot of them feel that just because their wounds are invisible, they feel like they're not existent. And we know they're there. I know they're there. To be honest with you, sometimes I rather feel like I would have all my limbs so I wouldn't be into all of this and stuff like that. But then again, I wouldn't be able to be that big voice. You know, so I need them to understand that, don't think that because I'm doing this, they can't. No, because I'm doing this, they can do it just as much as I could do it, you know. I just want to show them, I'm here to show them, we're here to show them that we're capable of doing it, and together we're going to do it.
Well, and that's amazing because, you know, traveling across the country and with all these events, you know, I know that you guys personally probably talk to veterans on an individual basis, you know, so I would love for us to get to continue so that you guys, you know, every night get to have an hour where you get to take some call-ins, get some vets to call in and talk to you guys leading up to the White House. So, I mean, I'd love to make that work. Let's talk briefly. You know, Jose, you're going to get to fly in. So you guys are, after you hit Arizona, it's Nashville, Tennessee, where you guys are going to do the, now I guess whoever can answer this for me, the Boxers and Boots 5K in Centennial Park. Somebody talk to me about this because I think I might need to come to Tennessee.
You know, each event in each city is a little different, and in Tennessee we have a 5K where we'll be running and or walking, and it's a typical 5K run, but it's again an event that we're inviting the entire city of Nashville to come out and enjoy not only all the extras that are going to be there, but to support the veterans and also help raise awareness. The more people we have out there, the more media will attract. And again, that's the whole reason we're doing this, is not only to raise awareness, but to, you know, meet veterans on the ground and towns like that. So we're going to have tons of veterans joining us from chapters that Weed Warriors Project has in that area. So they'll come out and support us. And again, we're going to be out there. I'll probably be walking and running because I'm a little older than the rest of the guys. So I think I get, like, more time. That's usually how the military and PC work. So I'll finish it, but I don't know how long it'll take me to finish it.
Well, and that's, and I see that you guys also are planning, Greta Gaines is going to be performing, you know, and then, of course, it doesn't say what you guys are planning on Halloween, so I guess that's confidential, but, and then you're making
your
way up the coast, you know, are you coming back to Denver?
No, we're here till Sunday, and you know, it's funny, we just, like, we're going to be heading up north, we're actually going to be reaching into New Jersey, we're going up to New Jersey. And we'll be up in New Jersey, and we're going to an event there. So, you know, it's changing all the time. But what we're doing is identifying places where we can make the biggest impact on the stop. And that could be Grand Junction at a Denny's, as it was. And we could end up, you know, last night when we had 15 people, we talked to them for an hour. So, you know, while we have scheduled stops, we have time between. And so I don't think we're getting back to Denver. But, you know, I will be back to Denver definitely lots of times.
Well, and we can't wait to have you. We're really looking forward to it, and looking forward to meeting Jose, you guys face-to-face. And, of course, we're going to be coming to the Millennium Grown Broadcast Studios in Colorado Springs on Sunday and just tremendously excited. Let me give a couple of shout-outs here. MagicalButter.com and Garen Angel, just tremendous people, the Weed for Warriors Project coordinating this. I mean, it's truly a historic event, but it's not the first one. Is that right? Is this the second one?
Yeah, this Garen Angel Magical Butter did the inaugural Cannonball Run last year, and this year we had a vet meet him at Patients Out of Time where we discussed it, and he thought it was a great idea to team up. And I gotta say, Garen Angel is a super guy. Just one of the nicest, most positive men that I've met. And he's done a tremendous amount for veterans. And I think that, you know, we need to applaud people like Garen Angel and all those people stepping up. So, yeah, big round shout out to Garen and his crew. And they have, yeah, it's going to be 20, 15 or 20 people on this tour. They've got the Magical Butter, you know, limo. And this is big, huge, long orange Humvee. So, yeah, they're all in. They're great people and from Florida, and I think they're just wonderful.
Well, and you guys, so you're planning on hitting, the goal is to hit D.C. The 11th. Now, well, I guess
correct.
Be arriving around the 10th or so for the Veterans Day Parade in Pennsylvania, I guess, on the 9th.
Correct.
What's the deal? What are you guys going to do when you get to our nation's capital?
Well, yeah, no problem. What we're doing is we're arriving the day before. We're going to be going to Dope Fest. We're spending the night, and I encourage every single vet or family member or anyone who wants to support
I will actually be spending the night as well, apparently, now. So come spend it with me if you guys want to.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, we're going to have like a live broadcast. Jose, live broadcast, staying the night. Where are you guys camping
out? On the National Mall. On the National Mall, we're spending the night. And then that next morning, we're walking from Ben Franklin Park to the VA to the White House with Jose. And so if you want to meet Jose or any of our veterans, come out. But literally my dream is for Veterans Day, everyone get on the train or the subway or walk down to Ben Franklin Park at the National Mall, meet us, because numbers is what we need. We need to show everyone on Capitol Hill and everyone in the White House, we may not have the billions of dollars to affect change in policy, but we got the hearts and minds of the American people. So America, come join us. And the other thing I'd like to say and get one plug in here is, you know, we talk about the flights and corporate and industry support. We're raising money. And so anyone who's interested in helping, you can give as little as $3, the price of a Starbucks drink, to our Indiegogo campaign at America's Veterans Demand Change, Weed for Warriors. And I think we're up to like $4,000 and we have 22 days left. So, you know, any little bit helps to get people like Jose out. And you talk about Halloween. I'll surprise the vets on the tour. I think I'm trying to get these guys to get back home to their families because they all have kids on Halloween, to be honest with you. And if we have any events to go to, we'll send vets who don't have kids. But I'd like Kevin, and I'd even like myself and a few other people who have four kids each, to be down on Halloween, because that's what America's about, is spending time with your family. And cannabis, this is something that's interesting, cannabis helps us spend time with our family. I mean, my daughter said, and I'd love to hear Jose, cannabis has given me my dad back. We're able to engage with our family, be less irritable, go out and enjoy life. And that is not something I'm going to let a police officer or someone, a doctor or someone in NIDA or corporate America or the Washington tell us we can't do.
Well, and you know, and that brings up a very valid point. It's because everybody's like, what can you do? Well, first and foremost, just like our military, our law enforcement are human beings. These are our neighbors, our friends, our family. And if there is no victim, there is no crime. And if there is an unjust law, and there are absolutely unjust laws, any law that makes cannabis a criminal offense or even denies access, you know, is unjust. And it's unfortunate because the law enforcement people, it's not their job to determine the laws that distinguish between citizens and criminals. It's our elected officials and our politicians' job to write the laws so that our law enforcement can easily tell the difference between citizens and criminals. Instead, we're putting nonviolent offenders in jail for life and letting rapists and murderers out in 2 or 3 years with good behavior.
Yes.
We need to clean house politically. We need to clean house politically.
Yes. And exactly what you said is, I mean, if we want to improve relations between the police departments across this country and the cities that they police, attack the drug war, including marijuana. Because if you look at the numbers of people arrested on marijuana and other drugs, and the number of people sitting in jail on marijuana and other drugs, except places where it's been regular, like Oregon, where they're going to expunge all these things and let people out, you know, what you have is a situation where that the federal penitentiaries are nothing but drug users, and they're taking a sickness and they're criminalizing it, and that puts our police force in a bad position. So instead of answering a call where someone's actually being hurt, they're busy arresting people because the prisons want those drug users because they're very valuable to them.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, and, you know, and that brought up a valuable point when we interviewed Chris Lewandowski. He had said that he was getting off of the pharmaceuticals that he had been on because they were causing problems. His wife, they just delivered their baby girl, so she was postpartum. You know, and so it really escalated and it turned into something a little crazy. But, you know, something else that just like that, big news just north of us, Canada's new prime minister with a liberal landslide is Justin Trudeau, who said that they are going to end the prohibition on marijuana in Canada, and they're going to do it ASAP. You know, Judge Breyer There was a huge law, I guess, a lawsuit in California against Lynette Shaw of the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana, one of the oldest shops, you know, and he just ruled in favor for her. So the dominoes are falling.
Yeah.
And I think the veterans are leading the way. I say this as a parent of a child, and the children have led the way, and
yes.
I've seen that, but there's still divisions. It shouldn't be epilepsy kids versus cancer kids. It should be any sick kid, you know. It should be any sick adult. It just should be any sick human being. So the vets, but I see the vets charging the path and taking the lead on this. And again, we want to thank you very, very much. Thank the Weed for Warriors Project. Just an outstanding project. You can check out their website and support them for sure. Check out cannibalrun.com for up-to-date details. And so, Jose, you're going to be in. You're flying in on Saturday. You need me to come pick you up at the airport, huh?
I think somebody might be. I'm more than positive someone would hitchhike me a ride somewhere. So I think I'll be Yeah, but I will
well,
be
excited.
In Colorado on Saturday, so I am very excited to see everybody there and meet everybody, just talk to everybody, enjoy the time, you know, have everyone there.
Well, Sean, in closing, you know, check with everybody. You guys start, I'd love to have it where, you know, we got the 1620 talk hosts on and you guys could take phone calls and just, you know, every night leading up to November 11th would be amazing because you guys, like you say, you got to miss your families. This isn't easy being on the road.
Well, no, it's not. And, you know, a couple things. I think you hit it. I mean, we all miss our family, but it's a greater good we're doing. And I think we're trying to create an energy and a buzz to be able to address the situation, to create the momentum and motivation that, as you stated so much earlier, people around this country for decades and decades have been fighting cannabis prohibition, and they've been losing in the sense that they've been there either thrown in jail or marginalized. And I think that goes to what vets bring to the table and children bring to the table, right? It's really hard for middle America to look away and ignore them and stereotype them. When you have someone like Jose, who is an American hero, I mean, straight up is an American hero. He is, it's hard for America to say no to him. And we need to understand that marijuana prohibition is having a negative effect on our heroes and our children and so many other people. The addiction rate's not lower than it was 30 years ago, so you can't tell me prohibition's helping. Access to marijuana is as good as it's ever been, so you can't tell me it's preventing that. So if you want to protect our children, protect the children who need it for medicine and allow access to everybody.
Well, and that's the freedoms that you fought for. That's just basic freedoms.
Well,
I mean, two of our presidents, by today's laws, would be felons. Actually,
well, and
more
exactly,
than that.
And we need to stop allowing. We need to stop allowing the kids from Harvard and Yale to be the only ones who can get away with smoking. And that's the way it's been for decades. Is the Bushes and the Obama? They don't go to jail, right? They get off and become president. And we know something.
Right.
Bush did a lot more than, you know, marijuana. So I couldn't agree with what you just said more about what you just said. The hypocrisy is very deep.
Well, and it's, you know, it's breaking down barriers just like this. The Cannonball Run and the veterans, we're breaking down the barriers left and right. So I want to thank you both again. This has been a Millennium Grown Broadcast Network special broadcast covering the Cannonball Run. Jose and Sean, we appreciate you very much. Hopefully we can get you back on. Give us a call in every night leading up to November 11th. We look forward to seeing you in our studios on Sunday, and we appreciate everybody joining in.
You're awesome.
Thank you very much,
Amy, for having us.